Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
I am a stranger here. Within a foreign land, my home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassador to be of realms beyond the sea, I'm here on business for my king. This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing. O be ye reconciled to God, thus saith my Lord and King. O be ye reconciled to God. This should be the confession of every one of us. We are a stranger here. We read in God's holy word, Abraham had here no abiding city, but he looked for the city of whom God was the builder and the maker. Let's pray that we'll be able to live the truth of this song. Listen as it's sung. Reading from God's holy word as we find it, Paul writing once again to Timothy, reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and then reading also the first part of the fourth chapter. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's give thanks that we have this in God's word, a teaching and an example, which Paul himself was, and certainly Timothy was, when Paul could say, I have no one like-minded as Timothy to preach the word. Let's pray for more labors like that today. Our Father, we give thanks that we have this message, thy perfect word, thy complete word, and even as we read, all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, and all of it is given by thy inspiration, by thy spirit directing any and all who wrote, beginning with Moses, and now here Paul being led by thy spirit to write these things to Timothy and to us today as that word continues. And as thou hast said, Lord Jesus, heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word will never pass away. Help us to know that these words will always be there. And we pray that we might see them now as we need to see them, and not for the first time on the day of judgment, that they will condemn us then, that we might submit to them now, that we might repent in all that we need to repent of, especially in any wrong doctrine, and then as well in obedience or disobedience. We pray, Father, that thou wilt revive us in the church, that thou would awaken us as well where that is needed, as thou didst declare through Paul to some of the churches. It is high time to awake out of sleep and to awake from the dead, and that thou, Lord Jesus, would give us light and life. We pray that thou wilt do that today to those of us who speak and those of us who hear, that we might together be hearers and doers of the word. We pray, Father, that we might return to sound doctrine. We have gone astray, even as Paul could say here that this would take place. And we pray for a return to true doctrine, the whole church, that it might be one in truth, in believing, and then also one in obeying. We pray, Father, for the temporal needs that are there, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for the broken homes and the children in those homes. We pray for our government, our leaders, that thou wilt put thy fear in their hearts. We pray especially for our president, that thou wilt protect him from all the evil forces that are there. Make us to know as a nation that there are no powers that be but are of thee, and that we might tremble at that word. For thou hast said, they that resist will receive damnation. And we fear, Father, that many will reap that which they are sowing, sowing resistance and reaping damnation. And we pray, Father, that we may not be in that number. We ask it all through and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. As we look once again at Paul's words here to Timothy, and either remember or learn that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is not man's word. It is not, as Peter said, of private interpretation. This was not alone Paul's words to Timothy. It was his word, but it was from God. God, first of all, making Paul a witness. And now Paul wanting Timothy to be also a true witness, declaring, first of all, that the scripture was by the inspiration of God, and what it is profitable for. And then in light of that, stating, I charge thee therefore, because there is a true word that all of us need to tremble at. And as God said by the pen of Isaiah, to this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. I read this morning about Josiah, when they were cleansing the temple, they found the word of God. They read it to Josiah, the king, and he rent his clothes. He said, great is the wrath of God upon us. And thankfully, because he humbled himself, the wrath was postponed. They were told that because of his repentance, his fear of God, that it would come later. And it certainly and sadly did, that Jerusalem was destroyed. When later kings came, they did not have that same trembling before the word. And we are much in the same way today. It is true of us as it was of the previous chapter that Paul wrote in this same letter to Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. And the list goes on. A very sad commentary on the perilous times that we believe are here today. We see it everywhere, individually, in our own lives, as families, as churches, as a nation. Everywhere we see these things manifesting themselves. Sadly, even mothers that should have the highest place of affection for their children, without natural affection, wanting the right to be murderers instead of mothers. How terrible. While we're talking, it's taking place throughout this day. The thousands have been murdered. We need to lift up our voice like a trumpet. As God said to Isaiah, show Israel their sin. And it is a terrible sin. I read lately where people complain about the police. And even one of them stated, they're killing us. The real killing is not from the police. They are our protectors. The real killing is both amongst ourselves and killing the unborn. That's where it is taking place, sadly. And let's remember, Scripture is given for reproof and correction, and then thankfully also instruction in righteousness, instructing us to love, instructing us that in our sinful ways God has loved us and gave his son, so there can be a new and living way. There can be the way of repentance, recognizing our sin, and forgiveness, called justification. Then as well, deliverance from the power of sin, called sanctification. One is God justifying us, forgiving us. The other is conforming us to the image of his Son, making us more and more like Christ. The perfect example, the perfect teacher. He was the one that taught Paul and called Paul his witness. And now Paul is making Timothy his witness. Timothy, of whom he said, my own son, when he wrote the first letter to him, chapter 1, verse 2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. In the second letter, he also wrote that that faith was in his mother, his grandmother. If we actually take the history of it, the history is Timothy was one from the area of Galatia. When Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, it was in a sad state. He immediately began with asking them how come they so quickly removed from the message of the gospel. And he said, whoever brought that message to them, let him be accursed. Twice he said that in the first chapter. Then in the third chapter, he said, who hath bewitched you? And he took them to task in that chapter, later in the fifth chapter, and again in the sixth chapter, concerning what had been taught them in regard to circumcision. Some had taught them that that had to be done to be saved. And that became a very great issue in the church at Galatia. It had come from the Jews in Jerusalem and even called Christians, but they held to that and to the works. Paul called it being bewitched. He also wrote about that to Titus. And we have to remember that Timothy came out of such a background, such a church, but evidently not part of it. Paul went to Galatia first, as we can read in Acts chapter 14, AD 45. Then he went back there another time, about 8 years later, AD 53. We read that in Acts chapter 16. And then we read that he found there a disciple named Timothy, and he wanted him to be one with him. He took him and he became his helper, and now he is still instructing him. So that is part of the history. When Paul says, my own son in the faith, he was very likely a convert at that first time that Paul went there to the area of Galatia. Some of the cities are mentioned, Derbe, Lystra, and the second time he went back there, then finding him and taking him. And that was 10, 11, 12 years before he is writing this letter, that Timothy became one with Paul in the ministry. Later, Paul also writes concerning circumcision to Titus. It is not part of right doctrine. It was a very important thing that God had commanded Moses and Israel. First of all, Abraham, given that charge in Genesis chapter 17, he had promised him, I'll be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee, and give thee the land in which thou dwellest. That was basically the promise with giving circumcision. And that was basically to every one of the descendants of Abraham. Even Edom, Esau, later became Edom. That land was given to them, promised to the descendants of Esau. So God fulfilled his promise, and he still is fulfilling it today. Wonderfully, he has brought the Jews back to their land. God has done what he has promised. He even said, like a shepherd will gather his sheep, so I will gather my people and bring them back. They are there now by the millions. When a number of years ago, there were only a few thousand. God has done that. And it was promised first in circumcision. I will give thee the land in which thou dwellest. But some want to deny that promise and add other promises as if heaven is promised. Promised to all the seed of Abraham. Promised to all of our seed as well. When someone doesn't see circumcision and baptism related to that, they'll say, well, you don't believe in the covenant. Yes, there is a covenant to be believed in, more than one covenant. There is the covenant of circumcision, and that was very much misused. Paul had to take issue with the Galatians, calling them bewitched, because they had believed those that said, you must be circumcised. And even went so far as to say, if you are circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Between the two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, he wrote to Titus. And he also gave warning to him, gave right doctrine. gave that which was other than Jewish fables. Paul warning Titus against them. He stated to Titus, holding fast the faithful word. This was for bishops. Titus was one of them, and he had to put other bishops in place as well. Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Paul uses the word doctrine over and over. In this third chapter, the scripture is profitable for doctrine. In the fourth chapter, preach the word and be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The next verse, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul wasn't scared of doctrine, nor was he afraid of teaching it. And he did the same thing to Titus. He said, bishops must be able by sound doctrine to exhort and convince the gainsayers. And then he stated one of the reasons why, the danger that was there. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. The most blessed people in the world at that time, and from the time of Abraham, when God gave the covenant of circumcision. But I would stop for a moment and interject. There was another covenant given, different, if I may say it better. Greater, long before Abraham received the covenant of circumcision when he was about 99 years old. He was circumcised, Ishmael was circumcised at that time, and Isaac was promised at that time. But long before, about 24 years before that, God had said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Not just the Jews. All nations shall be blessed in thy seed. Paul, writing to the Galatians, stated to Abram was the gospel preached. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. In the 17th verse of that same chapter, he said, the covenant of God, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. Paul, referring to that covenant that God made with Abraham when he called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, right in the beginning of his call, Genesis chapter 12. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God promised him that, and Paul called it the gospel. And God repeated it to Isaac, he repeated it to Jacob, and Peter later said that God gave that covenant to Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and then stating to them in his hearing that God hath blessed you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. We don't have that promise with circumcision. We only have a promise in circumcision if one keeps the law. There doesn't seem to be then a covenant of grace. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, states in Romans chapter 2, verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth. It will be a help to you. It will be a blessing to you. If thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision, worthless, worthless to those that broke the law. They couldn't be blessed, they nor their children, just because they were circumcised. A little bit later in the same chapter, Paul states, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The Jews thought they could praise themselves and praise each other by being descendants of Abraham and having circumcision, but only if they kept the law. The law could not disannul. Listen again what Paul said, writing to the Galatians, taking them to task. He began the chapter, "Foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" And then he set it straight. If they had thought they needed to be circumcised and that would get them a righteousness, Paul is not only warning them against that, but giving them the right covenant. The covenant of God in Christ, the law given 430 years later, could not disannul, couldn't take it away. Every one of them broke the law. You and I as well. We're all lawbreakers. And we're terrible lawbreakers today. Worse than the generation before us. Worse than our forefathers. Worse than ever in our nation. Never so many murdered as today. Thousands murdered, and we call it a right. We are so blind, so proud. As Paul said, perilous times will come. They'll be covetous, proud, boasters. That's what we're doing about the terrible sins we're guilty of in our nation. And we are guilty. And some of it, we need to take the right doctrine given to Abraham, given to his descendants, given it to the New Testament churches that got misled through the teaching of circumcision, and of which Paul said to Titus, "For many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." And a little later, he says, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." And there's so many that think it is the truth, like so many in the time of Christ, the time of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist had to say, "Say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." Circumcision did not make them one with Abraham. In the promise of the land, yes. In the promise of heaven, no. Only the covenant of God in Christ can give us that. And we need to come back to it in teaching and doctrine and get away from fables, half-truths. We need the whole truth of God that will bring us to repentance, bring us to faith, bring us, as we sang, "Oh, be ye reconciled to God."
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.